welcome to Souls on Fire with your host, Joe Trainer. Joe is a husband and father of three, and for 29 years was an award-winning and very successful college football coach. Today, he is the director of athletics for Pope John Paul II High School. He is a leader, a man of character, and filled with the joy of the Lord. Joe was running for God's heart and became a soul on fire. Listen in every Monday as Joe interviews other sports figures and businessmen and women who bring their faith into the marketplace. And now, here's Joe Trainer.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Souls on Fire on this beautiful Monday here on the main line. I'm your host, Joe Trainer. I'm joined today by Joe Aquilante, a fascinating story and definitely a pipe-swinging disciple of Christ. I can promise you that. We have a lot to go over here in the next hour, so really looking forward to the time we're going to spend here in that hour. Joe is a theology teacher at Bishop Shanahan High School, member of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. He's an adjunct professor at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary. He's also a member of the Archdiocesan Respect Life Council. He's a youth minister at St. Isaac Jogue in Wayne, and he's a devout Catholic and someone that inspires me. I got to meet Joe just over a year ago at a pro-life rally at Cardinal O'Hara, where all the diocesan high schools went down there for a day of prayer and discernment, and really powerful experience to see so many young people involved in the pro-life movement, and that was tremendous. And really, it was run by Joe, and he's kind of oversees a lot of those at the diocesan level. We had a phenomenal guest speaker. He was an NFL veteran, 10-year NFL veteran who had six kids himself. But just really powerful experience and inspiring for me as a Catholic father to see so many young people engaged in their faith. And really, you know, that's part of my primary mission here with my Monday show, just to kind of inspire young people and evangelize the great word of God. So we're going to begin today, as we always do, in prayer. So if we can do that right now, Joe and I are going to have a great hour, but we always want to begin with prayer. So in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father God, as we gather here for the next hour in faith and fellowship, we ask that our thoughts be your thoughts, that our words be your words, and then when we leave here tonight, that our deeds be your deeds. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joe, your story is amazing, and your ministry is amazing. Tell us about, let's start off with your upbringing. Obviously, very nuclear family growing up there in Valley, you know, King of Prussia area, very small family. So why don't you tell the audience about that small family you had growing up.
First of all, thank you, Joe, for having me. A pleasure to be here. Beautiful day indeed, so praise the Lord for that. So my little family is this. I'm number six of 16. I have 11 sisters and I have four brothers. And we grew up in Berwyn. I went to St. Monica's School, and then we moved up to Valley Forge. And my dad had a catering business, so he's Italian, 100% Italian. My mother was Irish, Scottish, Pennsylvania,
sure.
Dutch, Native American.
He married her just to make his parents mad, right?
Oh, yeah, he was the oldest, too. So it was a little, you know, the whole Italian-Irish thing going on. But so my mom and dad met, faithful to the faith, and they started their family. And one kid led to another, to another, to another. One thing I want to preface, though, is, you know, we would ask my mom and dad, like, you know, did you ever think about how many kids you wanted? And they said, whatever the Lord gives us.
Amen to that. That's
isn't
awesome.
That like, you know, it was like, wait, was like, whatever the Lord gives us.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
It's so beautiful. You know, you think about that today. I don't know. I mean, it'd be like, well, some people might say, yeah, you know, but whatever the Lord wanted to give us. And my mom, she was contemplating being a sister.
How about that?
She was going to enter the IHMs, but she met
the
my
Lord
dad.
Had different plans.
She
there.
Met my dad, so
that's hilarious. So, Diane, you know, obviously I'm dear friends with your sister Diane, and she talks about how God knows the brokering your dad had to do with the catering business to pay for all those Catholic schools, because all of you guys went to Carroll, right?
We went to St. Monica and Berwyn, yeah. Then we went to Carroll. And then some of us went to Villanova and Immaculata.
Okay. So yeah, your dad was constantly brokering catering deals with the Catholics, right? Yeah, I'll cater that graduation if you can, you know, give me a 50% discount on tuition.
He was a good man, certainly a good man.
What a great model.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Now, outside of your family, who were some of your other spiritual influences growing up, Joe?
Well, honestly, the domestic church, and when people talk about that term, you know, like the family – I look at my mom and dad, both of them. We went to Mass every Sunday. If you walked into our house, you know, you thought it was a Catholic shop.
Sure.
My mom had, you name it, every
the shrine,
statue,
the
shrine,
yeah, yeah.
It was all there. You know, Catholic cards, prayer, you know, whatever, it was all there. Medals. And I grew up around that, you know, but there was something that struck me. Whenever she would go to the Catholic shop in Norristown, the Mary Pefley. And the Pefley family there, I was like, "Oh, can I go?" You know,
sure.
She was going there, so it was one of those things, you know, just going to Mass, going to church, and there was something that was planted deep within, you know. I think the biggest thing for me, and I just to put it out there, I think it's the relationship with God. And I remember this. I'm just going to tell you a story.
Sure.
I was probably about 8 years old, and my aunt and my uncle lived in Florida, so my cousins were down there, and my mom was like saying sometime in October or November, she's like, "Aunt Sis and Uncle Dick are going to be coming up with your cousins," and we hadn't seen them, you know.
Sure.
And she's like, "I'm hoping and praying that we're going to have snow for them when they come up." And do you know, I prayed, I remember this, it was around November, and I prayed every day. Every day for God to make snow.
For my Florida cousins.
For my mom. For my
sure.
mom's request for my for
sure.
my cousin. I'm like, "Lord, can you just make sure that
sure.
there's snow for mom?" Because she wants snow for, you know, Aunt Sis and Uncle Dick.
Well, you got to give us the answer. What happened?
So I prayed every day. Every day. I grew up on a farm, and my dad was in the catering business, by the way, so let people know that. So we grew up on a farm. The catering business was there off to the side. And every day I was praying. Went to St. Monica School, come back, just praying every day, "Lord, let it snow for mom." And it was one of those years where the, you know, it was up and down, like cold, and then it'd be like warm.
Sure.
And I just kept praying, and I remember, I'm like, "Lord, you're going to do this. You're going to do it." And that week of Christmas, I was telling my siblings, like, "It's going to snow on Christmas. Like, mom wants, you know, we want snow."
Sure.
And they're like, "Yeah, what?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's going to snow." And I remember taking care of the animals. Going out leading up to it, had off from school, and it was like 50, 60 degrees, like going into the week of Christmas. And I'm like, "Oh, shoot." You know, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, "Okay, it's 50, 60. And I'm like, "It's going to snow." They're like, "You're crazy." Like,
sure.
You know, but I just believed it. I just believed it. That was a grace, right? So
no doubt.
Christmas Eve comes. It was I guess in the just hitting 50 degrees, and there literally a snowstorm was coming in. A storm was coming in, and I just kept praying, and the closer it got to Christmas, the intensity, I just kept praying, "Lord, just give her snow." And they were driving up, and they literally came up Christmas Eve, and in time for Mass, we went to the 7:30 Mass, and when we came out, it was snowing.
How about that?
And we had a white Christmas.
That's a great
and
story.
I was
That's
the most.
Awesome.
So my point to you is this: that prayer, I bonded with the Lord. There was something that was
sure.
that just took me. He took me down this path, and I'm like, "You know what, Lord, you're so good. I love this." So it just spawned something even more, you know, deep faith, and I continued to grow from there. I remember my confirmation. I mean, there's just certain things that I remember my life when it comes to faith. I remember my pastor Monsignor Nolan at St. Isaac Jogues, he always started every homily. He was like, "Lord, take my mind, take my heart, take my voice, take my lips, and use them to make worthy the message you want us to hear."
Oh,
today.
That's awesome.
Every homily, he would pray that.
That's cool.
I remember that. Like, yeah. And I would hang on every word he would say in church. You know,
that's cool.
So, you know, I think the journey. When you think of the journey, I think growing up with my family, going to Mass every Sunday, and of course there'd be Sundays that we were going there, and I'm like pulling my sister's hair or like fooling around. My dad's reaching over trying to grab us. You know, things here and there. But it was they planted the seeds of faith and it continued to grow.
That's awesome.
And then I just responded. I just responded in a way that I continued to love the Lord.
That's awesome. Now, you're planting seeds right now, right? You're planting seeds every day in Bishop Shanahan.
We hope we do every day. Yeah.
And I think to me, I always think one of the challenges today in Catholic ministry, meeting kids where they are, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you have to meet them where they are. And the reality is, a lot of kids that go to Catholic school aren't going to church on the weekends, you know, unlike maybe 30 years ago or 40 years ago. So how hard is that for you as a Catholic educator, you know, when you're, you know, when we were growing up, the village was raising the child, right? So mm-hmm. it was planted at home, and then it was watered at school, and then it was weeded, you know, with friends' parents and stuff like that. But now it's like, you know, in some respects, Joe, you're the last line of defense. You know what I mean? Because you have a lot of these kids who, it's hard to inspire and engage in the relationship. I'm not, certainly not impossible, because we both know kids who are devout and they're following. But it's got to be a challenge when it's not being supported at home. No,
I would definitely agree. You know, I've been teaching. I'll be finishing my 23rd year, but I've been teaching. I started teaching CCD when I was in high school, like going into college. And God bless Sister Marita Joan from St. Isaac Joke. She was the DRE there, and I kind of got involved. But so 30 years, I've been looking in the classroom, you know, like with CCD.
Sure.
And at Shanahan. And I, you know, people will always say, the question you're asking is like, oh, like, you know, what's it like now? Like, you know, is it the challenge? I think the challenge has always been the same. And the challenge is this: introducing Jesus to anyone you're meeting. So when you're in front of a classroom, the challenge is saying, regardless of where they are, you're trying to introduce who Jesus Christ is and that personal relationship with him. Because that's what it did. That's what it did for me.
Sure.
So it's the roadblocks that you have. So the challenges have been there from the very beginning.
Sure.
The challenge of introducing who Jesus is all the way back with the apostles, right? And then, you know, looking at the, you know, the history of the church and how much we have grown, and look at the great saints and going into certain areas and introducing who Christ is. It's the roadblocks that you're getting.
Sure.
So I have found that the more roadblocks come from, they might come from the parents, but they're coming from you look at the media, I'm holding up my cell phone. So
sure.
You look at this. This is the main roadblock. So the message of Jesus is the same. It's how we're presenting it and then getting through those roadblocks.
Sure. Let me talk about that for a second. I mean, I'm at church this morning, and I have the Laudate app on my phone.
Yeah,
right? It's got the daily readings and the meditations. And,
yeah.
You know, there I am. So, like, you know, the good things that come across with social media, the ability to reflect on saints and participate in Mass more fully. But then, you know, talk about, you know, you referenced the phone. You know, one of the things I feel with my own children is the stillness, right? We're not still, none of us are still anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm on a Zoom call today for work, and 5 minutes in, I'm checking my phone, and then I'm texting somebody, and I'm kind of, well, we take so much pride in multitasking, but we lose sight of
what's
the
in front of
stillness,
us.
You know, and then, and I think to me, and I said this on a couple different shows, but the contemplative nature of prayer, right, for me, that's something, Joe, I spent 52 years not even fathoming. You know, just to be still, the stillness, you know, the listening, you know, you can't speak and listen at the same time. It's impossible, right? So just being still in the quiet of your heart, listening to God's message to you. And that was something, honestly, brother, I spent 51 years, because it was all about resuscitation, right? It was, you know, you go to the Mass, you participate in the Mass, you know, you have the, you know, from the Apostle Creed, you know, to all the rhythmic prayers that we say at the Mass, and then the act of contrition and confession, all of it, right? We're taught very early on to recite and to praise, but we're I think if I could change one thing about the faith today, it's just be, you know, promoting the stillness of the encounter and the stillness and the quiet of your heart. Yeah. Be still and know that I am Lord.
Right? Amen.
And but what are some of the challenges you see with social with technology as it relates to the faith of young people today?
You just mentioned, I mean, like literally you're having a meeting and you're checking this or checking that, and it's like, wait a minute.
And I'm an adult. I'm an adult that should should be able to restrain better.
I mean, we are constantly trying to, you know, this is the battle.
Yeah.
Like this becomes the battle. I think like, what did we do before this? Right? Yeah. What did we do? But I 100% believe that it's the encounter, it's the impersonal encounter that you have in it. And when I look at, you know, where the Lord has placed me now, I'm trying to figure out the best way or say, Lord, help me to yield to what it is that you want for those who are in front of me. You know, the souls are our souls are the same.
Sure.
Right? For thousands and thousands of years. I mean, we have the spiritual dimension, right?
Yep.
The mortal, the physical, the flesh, right? The corporal, but we have the spiritual. That soul is the same.
Yep.
So what are we doing to engage the spiritual response, right? What are we doing to feed the soul? And like you said, you have that app. I encourage the kids to try to get apps every morning. I'll be listening to something even on YouTube, you know, certain talk shows or whatever it might be, just to constantly be listening to something and then praying. You know, get maybe a 20-minute ride to school, but praying, listening to the word, sometimes twice.
Sure.
Going in, you know, the readings. So I think the challenge is trying to really introduce students, youth, to the word of God today. But it all has to happen through an encounter. So you provide opportunities for encounters through retreats, opportunities for them to get to know the Lord, pull the phone away. Right,
put that aside
and say, let's go deeper, you know. And I always, you know, I marvel at how the Lord always, calls people different ways, no pun intended, but.
I just got that. Mo's got it. She's taking care of it.
I don't know if people can hear that, but.
That was hilarious.
Because he calls everyone from different ways, in different ways,
sure.
Different angles, right? I mean, you differently, me differently.
No, no.
And there's 16 of us in our family. I'm like, you know, which we all grew up in the same house.
Yeah.
In the same household. So what was it that made you click and what was it that made me click, right? And you can always look back on things. But
let me ask you this. I've asked this to a couple of my guests here, but this is always, and it sound like a broken record, but, you know, you have 16 kids. I'm one of seven. Half of us practice the faith, half of us don't. You know, the giftedness of faith, right? You know, you have like you were called early. Mine was more of a gradual, you know, drill down, so to speak. But you know, there's sometimes I feel like, you know, man, I don't. Why are some of us gifted with such a strong faith? The seed was planted for all 16 of you. The seed was planted for all seven of us, and yet some. You know, seed takes and some doesn't. And, you know, it's almost like, you know, gosh, man, I don't, you know, none of us, I'm not even getting into the merit of God's grace or any of that. I'm just saying, like, it's just, you know, it just seems like, it's just funny. Not funny, but it's a struggle kind of coming to grips with that. Like, why my seed took root and someone else's didn't.
Well, you look at an institution. You have students going to a school. You're a graduate of, I graduated from Villanova.
Yep.
What is the profile of everyone who graduates from Villanova? Do people know what that is?
Sure.
Right? I'm a Villanova or I'm a Penn State student, right? Or I'm a St. Joe's or, right? So when you look at this and you say, well, who are you? You know, my family say, you know, your mom and dad would always say this. We were going to my aunts and uncles. Don't you act up. Let me tell you. Don't you embarrass us, this or that. You do. You get home and you're like, yeah, no goods, right? But I think it always comes down to that personal encounter and the response. We're always getting the invitation from the Lord every day, every single day. My siblings, your siblings, every day they're getting an invitation from the Lord. It's what they do with it. My father would always say, God rest his soul, would always say, look for the miracle every day.
Amen.
Look for the miracle every single day. My dad was a man who was, you know, quiet in his faith. You know, my mom was very
open.
Yeah, like, you know, it was out there, right? Yeah. But my dad was very quiet, but he always, everything that he did, he prayed. Every single thing. He was like, oh, I'm giving the deal to the church. You know, my siblings might be like, what are you doing? Like, you're losing your shirt. And he might be like, well, the Lord is going to provide. And he's like, within a week, there'd be a company that'll call for a job for 500 people.
Yeah,
or something
yeah.
like that. My dad's like, what? Well, look, but my point is that, you know, it's that it is the personal encounter because the Lord's inviting you just like he's inviting me.
Sure.
And I'm saying this over and over again, but it is the truth. Like, are we listening? I guess to what you were saying, like, are we listening? Are we stopping to listen? You know, this phone, I'm holding up my phone to Joe, but I'm like, you know, we can get in the car. We can listen to it in the car. We're going home before you go to bed or you're checking something, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like one of these things, the challenge of just putting it aside and just letting it go and then just focus on who's in front of you. We just had a curriculum meeting for the Archdiocese and, you know, it was a really good presentation on saying when we're going to be in a meeting, let's be present to one another. That means putting
be where your feet are, right?
Yeah. Put your cell phone away. Don't look at it. Put it away. It might be difficult. It might be hard. Imagine what it is for a kid.
No doubt.
I mean, we got kids on Zoom, half, you know, hybrid sure. model right now. And I'm like, oh, my Lord, you know. But, yeah, it's very difficult. But I think as much as we possibly can, our role is to continue to open the door for the students to have an encounter.
That's awesome.
Anyone, you know?
As a member of the Archdiocese and Respect Life Council, like, what are some of the obviously you're involved in the pro-life movement. Like, qualify that for us here. Like, what give us a vision of what that looks like for Shanahan and Archdiocesan students
well,
that are involved in the pro-life movement.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I just want to say I grew up Catholic, obviously. Went to 12 years of Catholic school, and it wasn't until my experience at Carroll in theology class, my theology teacher was like, you know, you got to live out the faith, et cetera. My senior theology teacher, but at the same time, there was like, at the time I was in school, it was like the whole myth of overpopulation, we're all going to die, we're not going to survive. And I was being taught that right along the side of the faith issue.
Sure.
Right?
Go figure that.
But that stuck with me. And I'm like, and, you know, the whole mantra was like, basically, we have to curb the world population. We have to do this. So, young, impressionable, I'm like, oh my gosh, abortion has to be okay. You know, I'm answering your question,
sure.
But I got to let you know why
I am the way
that I am. Because, so I went to Catholic school and grew up in a Catholic household, 16 kids. Of course you're not.
You're pro-life.
Pro-life. So, but the point was, is that I remember taking that in and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, we have to allow. I got scared. I'm like, we're going to starve. We're not going to have any people. We have to allow this. Isn't this crazy? Like, to think, like, that's how
it's a reality.
Impressionable that teaching was,
sure.
Laying that out there for me. So at the same time, I'm getting theology over here, but I'm getting history over here, you know.
All under one roof.
Mm-hmm. So my point was, is that I began to believe abortion was okay. So I'm going to Mass, going to Catholic, never said anything because I was just thinking, like, it's okay. It's my own decision.
Sure.
But so much was happening in my life at that time of like really entering into having a deeper relationship with the Lord, my senior year into high school or out of high school going into college. And, my conscience started to kick in. I was like, wait, what are you doing? Do you know? And I really desired to get to know the Lord. I fell in love with the Lord. I mean, praise the Lord.
That's awesome.
My senior year in high school, the nun that I had, God rest her soul, Sister Ruth McCarthy, Sister of the Holy Child of Jesus, right up the road here, but in Rosemont. But she was like, you know, really about not just looking at the book, but like living your faith out. And when it came to this part, I remember that, but I'm like, I believe it's okay to have an abortion, but my faith is telling me this. So I imagine this. I'm desiring to get to know the Lord more. Mm. I'm like, Lord, I want to get to know you. And I'm seeing all these things, holding on to the truth, right? But I'm dangling in the secular world, you know,
sure.
The world saying this. So that's where my conscience really started to kick in. I'm like, wait a minute, what is the truth? And that's when I went deeper in my faith journey and like praying with the Lord and then beginning to realize things. And it was slowly the process of like, wait, I mean, and this all came from the presentation of it in a classroom.
That's awesome.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, so I'm thinking, you know, the mind is so impressionable thinking at a young age. I'm like, wait, why am I pro-life? You know?
Sure.
And I didn't even bring it up to my mom. I mean, I didn't even bring this, you know, but I was like, it was something personal.
Sure.
Internal. I'm like, no, it's okay. But then as I grew personally in my relationship with the Lord, I'm like, this is not sitting well. It's not working. And I'm like, Lord, take this. And you speak the truth to my heart. And it was a process, you know, abortion's not okay, or it's okay only in a couple instances.
Sure.
You know? So when I came full circle with the Lord, I'm like, no, like I own this. This is, we are pro-life. Like, what am I thinking? Like, Lord, thank you for delivering me from this.
And I'm reminded as we're talking, I'm reminded of a line from Martin Luther King. The opposite of love isn't hate, it's indifference.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's where we are with the movement right now.
For sure.
It's all like, well, you know, to each his own and kind of
No.
And you said something very powerful for me. I've probably said it 20 times since that pro-life celebration we were at Colonel O'Hara. But, you know, abortion's a male issue. You know, it really is, because it's, you know, we think it's the female that's carrying out the act, but so often there's the pressure of the male, the boyfriend, you know, to pressure, you know, doesn't like the consequences of what happened.
Right.
So now they start pressuring the woman.
If we did our job as true men of God, if we did our job as true men of God, we could, women deserve better.
Absolutely.
If we really were called to that. And that's why, you know, when you mentioned about the pro-life movement and like on the Respect Life Council, I just started getting involved in school and I started like preaching the truth to the kids, you know, teaching morality and saying, you know, the pro-life issue is huge. Nobody here, I tell my students right now, nobody should be shocked at the violence in this world right now.
No doubt.
We've
marginalized life itself.
People are like, oh my gosh, how did this happen? But, you know, in my classes 2 weeks ago with the shootings in Georgia and the shootings in Colorado, it was like blip. There was not. Do you know?
Blip on the radar. Yeah, we're so callous to it.
So, you know, the idea here though is that nobody should be shocked at the violence that's taking place in this world when we are not even looking at what is happening in the womb, the most innocent, sacred, the place that should be protected the most. It is being torn apart, and what.
Like, Mother Teresa says, Mother Teresa, if it's not there, you know, if you can't be protected there,
then it's, you know,
then it's over.
Game over.
Yeah.
But I think here's the thing, you know, a question about the Respect Life Council was that I started getting involved with that and started bringing students to the pro-life dinners, the Pennsylvanians for Human Life, PHL, and then the Pro-Life Union. So they have two major events,
sure.
One's in the fall, one's in the spring, started bringing kids there. Whenever we had the Archdiocesan run Respect Life Leadership Council meetings, I bring students there. Steve Boza came in. We had different, you know, directors, but Steve came in and he's like, I want to build this up, and how can we do it? So we had a meeting. We all got together who, you know, wanted to get involved, and then we started getting speakers, you know, better ones. Started it in the fall, kicked that up. We used to have it at the seminary, and then we outgrew that, went to Carroll, outgrew that, went to O'Hara, outgrew that, went to Newman University, and then you know, started twice a year, you know, one in the fall, one in the spring. So
that's awesome.
I'm passionate about that because I think once students get to see the truth, this is what happened to me. Once you understand what the truth is, it sets you free. It really does. It's not just a cliche. Like it really does set you free. And then when you're open to the Lord on top of all that, you know, if someone has a conversation devoid of the Lord, any faith, I say, well, this is the truth, right? But take that to the next level. You have a conversation and you're getting the truth and you're inviting him into it.
Amen.
It's over.
Powerful.
So that's what happened to me. So that's why my involvement in the Respect Life Council, wanting to really lead the students, leading the kids to the truth. And sometimes it's a challenge because they don't, no, it's this right or that right. But, you know, I pray, especially when I'm in conversations, and I just give it to the Lord. and so say, and I always know, I mean, I'm, you could say we can get in an argument about it, but I really have a heart for the people who are pro-choice, because I'm like, I was there.
Sure.
Like, I was on that side. I was practicing Catholic. Like, I was there. I didn't see it. I was so blind. Right? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, but you know, like, what? It's a, it's the best, you know, the best. You're speaking at a platform of like, hey, I've searched for everything, including what you're viewing right now as as a false truth.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break right now. We'll be back here with Joe Acquilante after 90 seconds.
Hi, this is Maria Richardson. I've been working in church ministry for many years, and I want to take this opportunity to thank God for Kathleen McCarthy. Kathleen is an amazing woman of God who has been blessed with many gifts and talents for his service. She is so connected to Jesus, and his Holy Spirit speaks through her in so many ways, through her words, her actions, her prayers, and her wisdom. Kathleen has been an inspiration and a mentor to me personally for so long, and it is a great joy to know that In His Sign Radio has allowed her to become a blessing to so many people. She is a gift that must be shared, and I, for one, am very grateful. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
Welcome back to Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Trainer, here with Joe Acquilante. Joe, you talk about adult. You know, you talked about some of the influences in your life. You know, coming up. You know, in the Acquilante family and the Carol. What's your feeling about mentorship, and you know, particularly for males in adulthood? Right, it's like, you know, whether it's some people you have a spiritual director. Some people have. I think one of the greatest misconceptions for me as a young adult, I think you kind of come up and you say, okay, when I get to, you know, I'm going to get to a point sequentially where I have all the knowledge I need, right? And I don't have to grow anymore.
Yeah,
and then, you know, and then you get to be 30, you're like, oh my gosh, man, I know nothing right now. And then you get to be 40. And then, like, in the last 3 to 4 years for me, you know, I've really kind of embraced the notion of having mentors, you know, professionally. In my personal life and certainly in my spiritual life, you know, I don't necessarily have a spiritual director,
right.
But there's certain people that, you know, as a 53-year-old man that I'm looking to for guidance and counsel and, you know, kind of modeling, you know, what I think is, you know,
yeah,
you know, genuine, authentic male Catholic,
sure,
you know, discipleship. What are your thoughts on a spiritual director or mentorship? Things of that nature.
Well, without fail, I think definitely spiritual director, quite honestly, it should be your parents. Like, in what,
sure.
Like, they're the first, right?
Yeah.
First line of defense with that and saying, introducing you to your faith. And at some point, you're going to take that and you're going to kind of grow with that. So when I was growing up, my dad certainly was. My grandparents, I would take my grandmom and grandpa, the ones who lived up here in Berwyn, to OLA, Our Lady of the Assumption, right here in Stratford. And I'd pick them up on a Saturday. Right, if they were going to that, or Sunday morning, just pick them up. And I just remember, like, the faithfulness. My grandfather had two prosthetics legs.
Oh, man.
And he would get up and get ready to go to church, and I'd go and pick him up, lead him to the car, and I'm like, oh my gosh, You know, it was
impressive.
Oh, yes. 80 years old, and he's wanting to get up and go to church, putting the two legs on, picking me up, you know. And there's always the silent mentor. There's always a silent mentor.
Sure.
So there's a mentor, you know, you can look at mentors and you see, well, there's a person who's like the coach or somebody who is, you know, your uncle or whoever, you know, in your life. But I always have recognized the silent mentor. And that's the someone who, I'll give an example. My dad had a catering business. So there was a guy, his name was Jules. He was our bartender. And he was always very polite. He always had a sense of humor. I'd see him at church. But he was always like, please and thank you. Like in everything that we would do. And he was a silent mentor for me.
Sure.
Just, he was living a virtuous life. He was living out the virtues. Yeah. And I'm like, look at him. You know, I would have aunts and uncles too. But as I think the most beautiful thing is that when you begin to say yes to Jesus, this is clearly the point. When you say yes to Jesus, you're like, Lord, I want to go deeper. I love you. And you got to say that, you know, like, I love you, Lord.
Sure.
And I tell people, I'm like, I love Jesus. Yep. I'm in love with him. It is what it
I'm
is.
With him.
Right. Sometimes men maybe can't say that. Right. But when you start saying yes to the Lord, God is going to put people in your life. They're just going to, it's just going to happen.
Amen. It's funny you said that. So I'm like, I spent, you know, when you think of, and again, I'm older than you, but same cohort, right? But when you think personal relationship with Christ, you don't think Catholicism. I don't, growing up, because it was the communal component, right?
Sure.
It was, everything was about, hey, get to Mass on Sunday. And
there
were these very and awesome, you know, inspiring experiences. But like, it was for me, at least this is my viewpoint, like it was very I don't want to call it anti-Catholic, but probably not until the last 10 years of my life did I come to embrace the notion of, hey man, it's about the personal relationship
Absolutely.
With Christ.
We something went, you know, what's the sacramental life in the church, right? When you There is a beauty when you go to Mass and the Mass is celebrated beautifully and it's all about Jesus. It's not about the priest giving the best homily. It's about the Word of God, Him making the connection. It's not about, you know, it's about the Lord. It's not about, and it's tough because
it's about the miracle that's taking place
right there at the altar.
Yeah.
But when you have that personal relationship with Him, you begin to go deeper. He pulls you out of the world. This might sound crazy, but He pulls you out, right, to bring you into the supernatural.
Deeper. Yeah, no doubt.
So you're in the we're in the natural realm, but you know when you're going to Mass, you're in the supernatural realm, because you are really taking the body and blood of Jesus Christ. I think the church needs to do a better job of engaging people in the personal relationship with the Lord.
Absolutely.
And we have everything. We got the sacraments. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, these are encounters, personal encounters of Christ. So if people began to know who Christ was, and then the gift of the church, Jesus came, I love you, I will never leave you orphaned. He gave us the gift of the church with the sacramental life to continue, with the Holy Spirit, praise the Lord, to continue that journey with Him. And then He says, you're going to be able to do things better than I. Like, you're going to do more than I.
Sure.
Right? I mean, any institution 2,000 years in living, right? A breathing institution,
no doubt.
The church, with its sinfulness and all.
No doubt. Flawed men.
Flawed men, women, we're all like, wait, what? But as you continue to say yes to Him, I have seen continuing to grow. I would say this, you know, what chapter are you writing with me now, Lord? What chapter? You know, I can look back in my journey with Him. And
part of me says it's chapter one still with me. I don't know. I'm on the remedial version, I promise you.
Well, it's the book. He's writing the book with you, right?
No.
Writing the book. But, and no, our, the end.
We know how it ends.
Well, the end in that book is going to be when we slip and we take our last breath from this world to the next, right?
Yep.
And, you know, there's going to be a sequel. And that's going to be in heaven, hopefully. I hope
Absolutely.
I get there. But we all get there, right? But the point is, you know, getting back to your point about the spiritual mentors, I began looking at, you know, first and foremost, my father. But I was growing up in the age of John Paul II.
Mm.
And I remember the day that he was elected. It was my mom and dad's anniversary. I remember that day. I was a little guy, but I remember that. I'm like, Mom, who's that? She's like, that's the Pope. And I'm like, something just intrigued me about him. But as I grew up and like loving sports and loving to get involved, and I'm like, this guy. And I fell in love with my faith in that sense. I started going to World Youth Days. My first World Youth Day was in 93 in Denver.
Awesome.
And I was like, I was set on fire. Like, it was just, there was something that I continued to grow. I started getting, you know, once you make a decision for Christ, as I was mentioned to you, God will put people into your life.
Amen.
And then there's going to be the silent mentors. You're going to look at a priest, or you might look at a religious, or you might look at someone. I have a woman who was growing up, when I started falling in love with Jesus even more deeply and getting more involved with my faith, there was a woman who worked with my dad, and her name was Lois, and she was charismatic. And she opened me up even more. And I remember going to a charismatic prayer, a mass, a healing mass, and she was like, just come, Joey, just come. I want you to come. I'm like, And I went, and all of a sudden I'm hearing this, and I'm like, I'm ready to mess my pants and run out of there. I'm like, what? And she said, just be patient, you know? And I just remember that, and I was like, Lord, if this is of you, you better open up my heart more. And one thing led to another, and I was like, what? You know, you can see, you know, you can tell, like, the web. I even just meeting you, as a brother in Christ, it's like he just continues to spread that web, you know? And then people all over, you know?
No such thing as a coincidence.
No, coincidence. It's all coincidence. Yep. But this is what I love, you know? This is what I love. So my point is that, again, I keep emphasizing this, but my journey has all been really continuing to grow in that personal relationship with him.
That's
awesome. And when you do that, he's going to put beautiful people in your life. I have beautiful, I mean, my family, but even, you know, my mom and dad always say, you're going to, you know, your blood is thicker than water. Blood is thicker than water. And what does that mean? Like, you know, you stick with your family. But one time I told, my mom was telling me that. I said, Mom, I agree with you, but Jesus's blood is thicker than our blood. And I'm listening. Holy Spirit, you know, I was like, I have brothers and sisters in Christ who are like my family, you know?
Absolutely.
And they're beautiful people. I'm like, Lord, who inspire me.
Absolutely.
Who inspire me. I'm like, wait, look, you know? And when we fall, I'm like, you know? Working with people at Shanahan, I mean, we're blessed at our school community, but in our department, we really are. They're beautiful people.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Talk about, you know, we talked at the break a little bit about, you know, one of the things I say often is the beauty of Catholicism, right? You have so many venues to connect with the Lord, you know, to get in what you call the personal relationship. You have novena, you have adoration.
Sure.
You obviously have the sacraments, right? You have confession and mass. You have the rosary. Like, what of all the saintly intercessions, but of all the avenues available to
sacramentals,
us as Catholics,
yeah.
What are some of the ones that you gravitate to, like, just by nature? What would you say?
Novenas. I've had novenas when I've prayed, you know, St. Teresa, the little flower.
Yep.
I'm like, wait, what do you mean? You're going to pray this and you're going to, something's going to, roses going to show up or something? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
But, I mean, the novenas, the Lord is taking me down past with the novenas, the rosary. And it's ebb and flow with the rosary. You know, sometimes it's like, quite honestly, during the Lent.
Sure.
It has been really difficult. Like, it has been difficult. Tomorrow, by the way, I'm starting my consecration to St. Joseph.
There you go.
So
the year of St. Joseph.
Yeah,
right?
So I'm going to be, May 1st is when it'll end. So I have some friends who have taken that. They're like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
So, they're like, you better hold on, because there's going to be some short readings, and there's going to be 8 pages, 10 pages long that you're going to have to read. And
yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to have to set that time apart. You know, because once I get home, I hit the bed. I'm like, ugh, that's going to be. But rosary, yes, for sure. Adoration. They have it at St. Isaac Joe's.
Yep.
That's my parish. They have adoration there. And just even praying with people. I mean, praying with friends, you know, being able to pray in the Spirit too, which has been another way of really opening my soul up. You know,
that's awesome.
And it's always about too, like, Lord, stretch my heart. You know, how much, stretch it. Where do you want to?
Take me out of the comfort zone.
Yeah, right? It's true.
Definitely.
And
I was, you know, I was at Mass on Sunday with my family, and it felt good because it was the first time, Joe, in probably a year since the pandemic where I actually felt a little bit of vibrancy there.
Yeah.
You know, and
I would agree. This past weekend was
beautiful. Yeah, it was. You know, weather was nice, but it was just like, it just felt like, okay. Because, I mean, I'm out for a long time, and I even you know, like any relationship, right? Your my relationship with Christ, there's days I feel dialed in and I feel like I am just like, you know, he's like standing right next to me. And then there's other days where, you know, I'm at a dark place and I'm praying and I just don't feel his presence. But it's like any relationship. He never leaves us. It's mm-hmm. just our inability to feel him. But there's something about the Mass. Like I tell my kids this all the time. Like, it's inspiring when you see people of differences that are just kind of coming together and schlepping through the same different muck in their life, but they're still schlepping through muck nonetheless, like, and spending time, you know, coming together as a family of Christ. I mean, that inspires me.
Isn't that the beauty of our faith, though? I never saw that more profoundly than when I went to World Youth Day. When I started going to World Youth Day, the Pope, for those who don't know what the World Youth Day is, it's the Pope gathers the youth from all around the world. He started in the 80s, John Paul II, God bless him. And, you know, nearly a million in Cherry Creek Park, State Park in Denver.
Wow.
And you're just looking over the fields, and you're like, what? And I'm like, this is the church. Like from around the world they came. I went to, that was 93. The next one I went to was in 2000 in Rome. Over 2.5 million people.
Wow.
I'm telling, it was like 100 degrees and we're walking there.
Yeah, Italy in the summer too. It's forgettable.
Fire trucks with, you know, hosing you down. I'm like, what is going on? I just remember going out and we had a walk out there and I'm like, what? I'm like, and I just, you're in the middle of this field and you just look around. I remember because you sleep out. You go, you pilgrimage out all day Saturday. You sleep out overnight. You have adoration at night
nice.
With the Pope. I mean, it's unbelievable.
That's awesome.
And then you wake up the next morning, there's Mass, and then you're heading back. And that was like an amazing experience. I'm like, the church is so big, so vibrant. When Spain, World Youth Day in Spain, but also then in when Pope Francis became Pope, it was in
Central America.
Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah.
So when I went to that was, it was on the beach. They were supposed to have it at a location about maybe 40 minutes outside the city, but it rained like the most in about 15 years there. And so the location they had it completely filled in.
Oh,
between,
gosh.
It was in a valley. It was between
it's
two
part
mountains.
Part of God's plan.
So we wound up being on the beach the whole time. And there were kids on Saturday night who were in the ocean on surfboards on their knees adoring the Lord because the Pope, you were just going right along the whole beach line, and he had a huge stage, and the crowd was so huge
wow.
that you couldn't fit him on the beach. It was going into the streets, but then people were going into the ocean. And
wow.
I remember seeing guys on their knees on the surfboard during adoration. I'm like, Lord. And we don't need to speak. I mean, people from all over the world come. The language is the language of love, like this is the language of the Lord. And everyone knew when we were kneeling, everyone knew when the word was being spoken, because you know, with the apps today, you can do all these, you know, you can still tune in, but physically seeing those millions of
people,
that
had to be powerful.
To me, it blows my mind. I'm like, Lord,
among all of our differences, right?
Yeah, among all of those, right, that we still come together. My dad, there's 16 of us, my dad's like, I got front rows, you know, seats to the biggest circus that's out there. He's like, all of you guys are so different. You know, he was like, what? You know, but he's like, we're all together. You know, Aquilani, we come together. You know,
you were talking about, you know, see the miracle of the day, right? Your father, you know, his advice to you guys. And that's so true. I remember, you know, I was reading on, St. Augustine was writing on the wedding of Cana, the first miracle, right? And he's like, and everyone was like, well, how many jugs was it? What was it? You know, and all this stuff. And what was the exchange between Mary and Christ? And you know, so obviously crudely synthesizing what he said. He's like, listen. He's like, all you people worried about the miracle of Cana. He's like, how about the miracle that takes place every day when it rains and the grapes grow from the ground?
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then we make the wine there. Like, what about that miracle? What about the miracle of the sun come? So he's basically, in his writings, he's talking about this.
Yeah.
And it's so true. Like, you want the, we get so caught up in the aha moments, right? And we want them, and they carry us for a little bit of time. But, man, at the end of the day, man, it's like, you know, we just get so, I know for me, when I become entitled or petulant or just small, literally and figuratively, gratitude, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing like gratitude.
So true.
That gives you perspective and allows you to re-engage with Christ.
Yeah.
Because we're so, and especially now, right? It's, you have the, you know, social media, right? Everyone's posting, hey, nobody's posting, hey, just had a blowout fight with my wife. I hope this marriage can survive it, right? My son's going through a hard time. No, we always, it's like a house of cards, you know? And then, but when you really just sit back and you realize, man, oh my gosh, like all this goodness, like I don't deserve any of it.
Yeah.
And how about the daily graces that I get where, like, I'm not even aware of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know,
and it's when you're opening yourself up, you're like, Lord, help me to see this. You know, you brought up the miracle of, you know, wedding feast at Cana. And I reflect on that sometimes because I'm like, Mary, she just wants to lead us right to him.
Yeah. You
know? And he knew, like, he's like, Mom, it's not my time.
Yeah.
You know, for those who know the story, but he's like, it's not my time. And she just looked and she's like, to the waiter. Yeah. Do whatever he tells you.
Yeah, and the good son that he was, he didn't even say yes yet. She's like, listen, whatever he tells you, make sure you do it.
Hey, and I always...
Which makes me think that Christ was Italian at the end of the day.
Listen,
he was
I'm going to tell you something. People don't know this. Listen, people, if you're out there listening right now, I'm just going to tell you he was Italian because he had wine. He had good wine. He had nice Italian bread, right? What did he have at the Last Supper, right? And then he had... They don't tell you this, but... He had angel hair pasta with a nice semi-sweet marinara. It was good.
My Irish friends tell me he was Irish because he was still living at home when he was 30. All he wanted to do was drink and hang out with his buddies. So that's it. I think at the end of the day, I don't know if he was, you know, if he was Irish or Italian, but we're certainly blessed, especially this week as we enter Holy Week too.
Yeah, I would always say my dad was the Italian meatball, my mom was the Irish potato. You know, but I. Something hit me when you were just saying this about Mary, the Blessed Mother, because, you know, what strengthens me in my relationship with the Lord is Mary. And I go to her, you know, I look at my mom, you know, my dad passed massive heart attack. So you're like, oh, like, didn't expect that to happen.
Sure.
It wasn't coming. My mom, she passed, she had an elongated stage of going through cancer.
Gotcha.
Form of cancer. And anyway, I was in the latter stages. I mean, she was in the latter stages of her life, and I was so blessed to spend some time with her. And I prayed, I'm like, Lord, you know, what more can I give? And I'm like, I just prayed, I'm like, Lord, she needs to be loved. Stretch my heart so that you, like, I never knew. No kidding. I never knew that I could love my mother more than I did in the last six months to a year of her life.
Wow. That's awesome.
I never knew. And when she got sick, and it was looking like, you know, doctors called us in. And said, in June of 2017, after six rounds of chemo, and she was, you know, the doctor was like, she's not going to make it. She's not going to make it. I'm like, Lord, she is. Like, Lord, your will take place here. I never knew how much he could continue to stretch my heart to love her in a way that I did. 6 months, we had her an extra 6 months.
That's awesome.
And my point is that Mary loves to do that. She takes us to her son. And I just remember praying with her because I'll never regret the time spent with her and that time work, because I he stretched my heart to love her even more. And I think he does this on an ongoing basis.
Definitely.
To teach us to love even more. And so who's the person in your life that he wants to stretch your heart to love even more? Because he's going to be in that person. Whether it's a student, whether it's
sure.
a colleague,
sibling, yeah.
whether it's a sibling, whether it's a person who's going to be on the street, whether it's a person who's of a political different background,
sure.
person, right? I mean, all this stuff that's going on out there. I'm like, Lord, what is it that you want to do in stretching my heart to become more like you? And Mary has a pivotal role, you know, in the
Huge.
Maternal way. And I reflect on that in my own faith journey with both my mom and my dad.
That's awesome.
I'm like, what did my dad give me and what did my mom give me?
That's
know?
Awesome. That's
and
cool.
Yeah. So it's a beautiful way of reflecting. And then just being grateful. Today I was driving to school. I'm like, Lord, it is so beautiful. I'm like, listen to the word of God. I'm like, praise the Lord. There's a part when I'm driving, it's like a little hill that kind of goes up, and I always feel like, oh,
You're like, arriving.
It's just so beautiful.
That's
right?
Cool. As we wind down here, Joe, you know, I've asked a number of guests this question. I mean, we're coming off of an incredibly contentious period with the election and, you know, Catholicism at the forefront of that is, you know, you have different Catholic leaders. you know, you have for a long time, I felt that under the umbrella of Catholicism, mm-hmm. there was a place for all of us. You know? Mm-hmm. And but as we become more divisive in some of our, not in doctrine, because that doesn't mm-hmm. change, or dogma, but just in terms of interpretation, you know, things like life, sexuality, you know, big ticket issues like that. Do you see a chasm coming, or is this just the ebb and flow of the history of a church that's been in existence for 2,000 years? Or are the differences of, you know, immigration, sexuality, life, you know, to your point earlier, that the notion of what, you know, when does life begin? Like, it just seems like there's, under the Catholic umbrella, mm-hmm. there's much more division in those areas that are many of us consider big ticket items.
So to answer that, you know, you have to look at who we are first, made in the image and likeness of God. Mm. And then you have to look at what's the big picture. The big picture is good versus evil. The devil desires to split, divide. If you were to step back and look at what's happening in our culture, this is not of the Lord. It's of the devil.
Amen.
And he is all about splitting and dividing to conquer. There's no question anybody could look at this, the entire globe right now, and the pandemic and what it is, what has happened. There's no way that somebody couldn't look at this and say, the devil is trying to do his best work here. It's the truth. Even dividing families, you know, this is not who we are. As human beings, on the level of being human beings, the cancel culture is a perfect example. You don't like me, I'm going to cancel you. Who are you? Imagine if the Lord did that to us.
Oh, my gosh.
So my point is that I think, you know, I'm speaking with looking at this. I'm seeing the evil, the battle of good versus evil. If you don't see it, you're blind. Okay? If you don't see it, you're blind. There's something that's off. So once you see that, you begin to understand. Okay, if you put that into perspective, then you begin to act and react in a manner that is what you're called to be as a man of God or a woman of God, right? As a Christian, as a Catholic. And you're called to look at the entire picture and say, Lord, guide and direct me. I don't think the Lord doesn't want to split. But when we're influenced by evil and we allow that, we're going to think like that. We got to get ourselves out of that. And we got to recognize.
And it's so much of the devil's work. It's based on fear, right?
Sure.
It's all he makes.
Imagine the Lord. I'm like, Lord, just come and take care of all this. You know? And he's like, you know what? You guys can do it. You know, you can do it. And it comes down to each and every one of us, really, every day, consecrating ourselves to the Lord, giving everything that we have, the good and the bad, you know, ebb and flow, as you mentioned. But really consecrating ourselves and saying, Lord, I give you this day, because we don't know what day we have, right?
Amen.
We just may have this one day. And then doing the best that we possibly can. It's hard. It is not easy. And we make mistakes. I'm a sinner. I mean, we're all sinners.
No doubt.
We make mistakes. I'm like, Lord, wait. At the end of the day, when I'm like putting my head on the pillow, I'm saying, Lord, help me to really completely surrender myself to you. And I think that's what we all got to be doing.
Amen. Joe, this was awesome, man. I appreciate your time. I always love talking to you.
Amen, brother.
God bless.
Thank you.
Folks, have a great Easter week. Have a great Holy Week. And we will not be with you next week. We will be with you the following week. But wishing everyone a happy and healthy Holy Easter. God bless.
God bless you. Take care.